Hey guys, before you listen to this podcast, you may want to download one of the forms that we talk about a lot in this podcast. It's a comparison chart between the 333 and the NPRM 107. It's really important. We talk about it a lot in this podcast. This podcast, I've been waiting so long to talk about. You're going to love it. How do you get this form? Just text 33444, and then in the body of the text message, write NPRM 107. Then you're going to get a text message back, and they're going to say, hey, can you give us your email? You give them your email, and they're going to email you the document instantly. It's our way of autonomously getting you this information as fast as possible. So again, text 33444, and in the body, NPRM 107. Now, let's get to the show.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, today is the day. No, really, I have been waiting to talk about this all week long. And my name is Paul, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. You'll want to listen to this one through and through, right, Rob?
Absolutely, guys. Welcome to episode number 331. I'm excited for Paul.
You're excited for me.
Because he has been so antsy to get this podcast out for good reason.
Well, there's just been so many FAA releases, and people are like, should I get a 333? Should I wait for a 107? And it's like, you're asking the wrong question.
You're asking the wrong question.
But you can certainly understand why they are asking that question. With all the ambiguity that persists in the industry, it makes sense at least. We just want to help people maybe think beyond that question.
I mean, if you are going to be in business flying drones, obviously the regulatory hurdles are large.
Absolutely.
But guess what? I found some info that we're going to talk about that may give you some hope. And also, we're going to try and assist you in thinking beyond the first step, because you really need to be thinking about step 2, 3, 4, and 5, just like a chess game, if you're going to be successful.
Absolutely, because ultimately what it's about, right, there's going to be a lot of competition.
Lots.
There are a lot of people getting
into
this.
Can I just say, I'm so excited about competition, because there are so many whiners who have their 333 exemptions, and they are awful pilots, and they talk up a huge game, and I can't wait for the little underdog to get out there with his 107 and fly the pants off all these old men. I'm serious. I'm so excited for that.
I love your
competition and capitalism at its finest.
Absolutely. That's right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's going to be a great thing. And so basically what Paul's saying is, you better get your butt in gear, start working on your
craft. It's too late
craft.
For a lot of them, so it's okay.
Well, no, I don't know that I would say that. I mean, I think there's certainly going to be a lot of room. It's still in its infancy as an industry, I would say.
Yes, I agree. I mean, if we're talking about timing, if someone were to put in the rules of deliberate practice, something that I've been talking about a lot with you. It's from Professor K. Anders Ericsson from the University of Florida. Hold on, it's in my phone.
But he's actually from Denmark or something, isn't he?
Yeah, but what he is a behavioral economist. And you may have heard him before. He talked about the 10,000-hour rule. In order to be really good at something, you've got to work 10,000 hours. That was actually in Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers
book. Gladwell came up with that, yep.
Well, he just interpreted the data from K. Anders Ericsson. And this is something... this is something that really hits home for me. And we'll talk about it more later as we go through the differences between 333, 107. What should you really be thinking about? Because deliberate practice, if you follow the rules of deliberate practice, which is pretty much what Drone U is all about, there is nothing stopping you from being the best pilot. But
Absolutely.
The reason I said it's too late for a lot of people is because they're too close-minded.
Right.
That's why. Anyway, I just wanted to make that crystal clear.
So explain that a little bit more. Go talk a little bit more about what you mean by a closed-mindedness, specifically in this context, and why that's such a bad thing.
Well, closed-mindedness in the fact that you know, people are not truly practicing their trade. They're more focused on the business, ramping up their business, but they don't understand that you'll have an initial growth period and then you'll drop off like a rock.
Right.
You know, Traxta said that in their economic analysis of the drone industry as a whole, that we're going to see this huge boom, 2017, massive drop off because of acquisitions and people's inability to actually run their business, work through the workflows, and be efficient on every system in their business so that they can scale.
Right.
That's the main challenge for any business's scalability.
And certainly, obviously, being a good pilot is going to be critical, wherein comes the practice, because we see a lot of videos, Paul, a lot of people doing, frankly, a lot of them are real estate, but all kinds of stuff, even on the beach or wherever you want to fly. And probably 90% of them are not really close to where they need to be.
To maintain clients.
Correct.
Let me give you an example. In recent days, I have been overtaken by a lot of people. A lot of people who, they're not flying 333s. They don't even care what the FAA says. And they're flying so under the radar that no 333 pilot will ever be able to call the FAA on them, which is the only way that the FAA would really ever come after them. But anyway, that being said, they're offering a much lower price point, just like we saw at the DSLR and the wedding videography and photography.
Mm-hmm.
They're offering a much lower price point, but we're already seeing the remission stage. We're already seeing the comeback to original stage.
Right.
Because I've got people calling me all the time now who are like, I went with blank blank, and your stuff is just 10 levels above theirs, and we don't really understand it when we're hiring. And I've had to be like, well, I've got to hold off for a little bit. You know, we're waiting for some things to do this type of work. So, but with this whole schools not needing a 333, I think we still can't do, you know, the whole commercial work without a 333. There's an argument on both sides of that. I'm not going into that. The whole point here is the fact that the cycle has come to fruition. Bad pilots, yeah. Undercut. Clients realize that, they go back to the good guys.
Absolutely. In most cases, unless that person doesn't appreciate quality, and they're going to be those out there as well, you're not going to want to work for them anyways, because you're not going to get paid if you're doing the practice and you're getting good at what you do. You're not going to get paid what you need to be paid. So move on and don't worry about those folks. So let's get into the right question, because
okay.
We've already said what the wrong question is. 333 versus 107. And we say wrong in quotes.
Because the wrong question is to ask, what should I do right now? The right question is to, how do you set up your business to be ready for a mass influx of drone pilots? How do you stay competitive? How do you maintain the competitive advantage?
Right.
I know it's not sometimes the most entertaining information, but it's really important. So
it is important. And so one of the ways that we do that is, as we've just alluded to, you become the very best at what you do. Right?
Yes.
And so I know that's something that you wanted to talk about.
Well, it's something I talk about in my book too, is people ask, you know, what is the thing to get good at so that you can be good at all things? Smooth, super smooth, fluid video. Not photos, not mapping, not autonomous stuff. You need to learn to be fully in control of that bird at all times, no matter what.
And because if you're not, I'll just interject really quickly. I will tell you, as sort of a layman looking at videos, I don't have the eye that Paul has or John, our producer, has. But if the motion of the bird is not smooth, my attention is so distracted, I'm not even seeing what the camera is showing me anymore.
You've got the curse of knowledge, Rob.
I'm frustrated by what the drone is not doing right.
I look at it the same way. Okay, best show to watch for great drone footage. Go.
You just told me this and I already forgot.
Survivor,
that's what you said. Yeah,
it's
Survivor.
On, it's Wednesday night. Watch it tonight. Or just go on Comcast, Xfinity, if you have it, and watch any episode from this season. Their drone work is so good.
Okay.
I mean, and they're smart about it, because they're taking these shots. They're going very slow the entire shot, doing their small movements, and then they ramp through it, speed it up, slow it down, ramp. It looks so good.
Is have a little bit of smooth, and you're going, oh, good, they're smooth, and then Wait a minute. What just happened?
Actually,
that's what we see a lot of.
It's funny. You know, when I fly super smooth, and when I'm bringing it back to me, I flip the bird around really fast, which sometimes scares people. Well, I was still recording on a recent gig I did in another country, and the editor put that in the video, and I was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I had no way to transition from one location to the other." And I was like, "Do not use that shot. I'm not recording on that anymore just because I know you may use the shot." Right. That is not cool with me. And he's like, "But dude, you literally do a 180-degree turn in a split second. It doesn't even look like the drone stopped moving." I'm like, "Because it didn't stop moving. The right. only thing it did was a massive U-turn at a high rate of speed. Like that, that is not made to be video. That is made to be, I'm getting back to my next shot quickly."
Okay. So then the next question, and with perhaps an obvious answer, but an answer that we can dig into a little bit, is how does one get that good at flying their drone?
Deliberate practice, the deliberate right. practice model. This is, again, from K. Anders Ericsson, a very famous professor. The 10,000-hour rule, which he came up with, was in Outliers from the Malcolm Gladwell book. If you want to listen to the entire Freakonomics podcast that really showcases why deliberate practice model is so imperative to becoming the best or very good at what you want to do, check out the Freakonomics podcast, How to Be Good at Anything.
April 27th, I believe, was the day.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing podcast. Seriously, guys, listen to it. Really important. Anyway, what is deliberate practice? Essentially, it's practicing something very regularly, but realizing what your errors are and slowly eliminating those errors. When I was listening to the deliberate practice model on Freakonomics, I'm sitting there thinking like how I learned how to fly and the steps that I had to make and like, you know, no look flying, FPV flying, landing in difficult locations, landing into wind,
right.
you know, how to land into the wind, and then try to overcoming. I would see a certain shot that would come down and do a whole 360 rotating reveal. Like, how did they do that? And that's what deliberate practice is. It's practicing all the time, trying to solve minute problems each time. And, you know, like, for example, we do the whole basketball game, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get better if we play basketball all the time as a game, because you're not deliberately trying to become better at a certain thing. You're kind of mindlessly or aimlessly just playing the game.
It one of the best ways for me to think about this is physical fitness, right? And if you just do the same, let's say you run, even if you run 3 miles a day, but you run like a 9-10 minute mile every single day, it becomes very monotonous. Your body is going to adjust,
yep,
and you're not going to improve. Whereas if you're constantly adjusting distance, you're adjusting speed, you're trying to get faster, you're pushing yourself, you're doing intervals within those 3 miles, within those 5 miles, you're doing speed work, your body is going to actually improve over time. You're pushing yourself. And so when you say deliberate practice, a key element that I took from this, and it's something that's relatively common sense, I think, is you've got to push yourself in order to get better. And I think that's what you're talking about when you talk about getting better at flying drones.
That is exactly what I'm saying. But I also want to take this back for a second and kind of give like a macro level rule or a macro level view of what we're talking about. The 333 versus the 107, what we're saying is how to become the best at the skill that's necessary to run the business and how to increase your business skill so that very small hurdles like a 333 or like a 107 no longer become hurdles, because in the time that you're waiting to overcome those hurdles, you're working on all these other things.
Yeah, don't be consumed by those processes, essentially.
Yeah. And I think the best way, going back to what you were saying with deliberate practice and how you can best visualize it and understand it, one of the best examples that I've ever heard of it is the difference in brain size and capacity between bus drivers and taxi drivers. Did you know the brain capacity and ability to solve more complex problems is very easy for a taxi driver versus a bus driver?
Fascinating, yeah.
And they actually studied this in London. They figured out what roads did the person know? What type of comprehensive knowledge did the bus driver know of the city versus the taxi driver? And the taxi driver takes a lot longer to learn because he does jobs and he learns new areas of the city kind of erratically, but he's learning new things. He's eliminating those errors. He's trying new things. Whereas the bus driver does the monotonous thing.
Doesn't even have to think.
No. And they realized scientifically that his ability to solve problems was much lower than the taxi driver.
Yeah. Yeah, just if you think about it, it makes sense. It really does.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, you think about, like, have you been doing the same thing for 20 years, and are you really good at that one thing, or are you useless as a whole?
Right.
You know, and like, what is your ability to transition into a new job if your job is going away?
It's why you better, in today's day and age, you better enjoy the process of learning. And if you don't enjoy it, you better figure out how to do it in spite of not enjoying it, because it's that important.
That was a major overcoming that I had to come by when I was like 24, 25.
Right. So. Yeah, I think everybody goes through that. Most people go through that at a young age. But
yeah,
enjoy learning. And so as it relates to drones, maybe give somebody a sequence really quick of how they can progress in the difficulty of the shots that they're working on.
And that's something that, first of all, the new aerial videography course where we go over 15 different cinematic moves, how to do them, it's coming out really soon. Our Don't Crash course is being updated with the Phantom 4, and we've added a lot of drills at the end that are systematic, that help you overcome systematic problems that all drone pilots have. I find it funny that the FAA isn't really familiar with the key issues that cause crashes time and time again. They're very simple things. I know the difficult part is getting in front of these problems to try to mitigate them before they happen, but when at one end of the table you're saying you can't fly without a pilot's license, and at the other end of the table you're selling Phantoms at Best Buy.
Right.
Those are contradicting things, and you're not really solving the problem. So let's merge into, should I get a 333? Should I get a 107? I don't think 107, quote me right now. What is it today? And the person who told me I'm doing this, because they told me a couple days ago, Wednesday, May 4th, the 107 will not be what you think it is. That's my prediction. Quote me. I'm saying.
And ultimately, that's probably not very surprising. But we do have a document that suggests what it will ultimately look like, or reasonably close. And you're saying, don't be so sure.
I'm saying, don't be so sure. Leading voices in this industry who work hand in hand with very powerful people are telling me otherwise.
Not President Obama.
No.
Okay, so not that powerful.
His daughter may have texted me and been like, yo, drone laws could change. Like, no, it never happened.
She may not have as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so what is 107? How is it different from the 333? We made this cool little flyer here for you. It's actually very, very, very useful.
Yeah, it's a handy little comparison chart of the 333 versus the 107.
Is there a place where someone could get this and the NPRM document?
You know what? There is actually what this is going to give them, Paul. So not the NPRM document. It's just going to give them this comparison. They can go to the internet and get their own NPRM 107 document, right?
Okay.
But guys, if you will simply text 33444 and in your text include NPRM 107, capitalize NPRM, we will send you by email a copy of this chart that Paul just referenced. And it actually is a pretty handy dandy little chart to compare the two for you.
It really is. And we should probably record another little thing to go in the beginning of the podcast to say, all right, we're going to mention this document. Here it is. Here's how I get it, which we will do. But let's go over the differences really quick. General Section 323 exemption, which we now know from the news yesterday that if you're a school, you're a student, you don't need one. So, which I don't think a lot of students got one anyway. Probably not. No, I don't think so. But I know the NTSB, the FAA, and a couple other federal agencies listen to our podcast, so I just want to be really clear. Anyway, Section 333 exemption, you've got to have at least a sport pilot's license and a current flight review, even though we have recordings of FAA FISDO guys calling people and saying, you don't have the authority to fly, but you don't need a valid pilot certificate, even though they mentioned the website that says you got to have a valid pilot certificate. So you may have heard contradictory things depending on how often you watch YouTube, but you do need a current sport pilot's license. With the 107, do you need a pilot's license, Rob?
You don't, but you're going to have to pass the test.
That's right. Just one test or...
And renew it every couple years.
Two years or 24 months.
Yep.
Depends on how you like to say how old your children are. Mine's 48 months.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm kidding. I don't have kids. Flight restrictions. Section 333 may not operate in prohibited areas, special flight rule areas, the DC flight restricted zone. I'm so glad I got to fly there before they changed that. The temporary... permanent flight restricted areas, and then special permission for airports in controlled airspace and certain airports in uncontrolled airspace. See example below. And then for 107, can operate in prohibited areas, special flight rule areas, the DC zone, TFRs, temporary permanent flight restriction areas, but you can get special permission to fly in controlled airspace, cool. B, C, D, and E, which is a huge, huge deal because right now it's really dependent on how much your local airport manager knows about the 333 because sometimes you need a COA, sometimes you need a letter of agreement, which is what they currently use to fly in restricted airspace for helicopters and whatnot. And no one's made the distinction because the FAA says contradictory things in different places. So one place they say, oh, you need a special COA. Another place says, oh, well, you need a special COA or a letter of agreement.
Right.
But the letter of agreement is certifying the aircraft and the rules that you would comply with if you were flying in that airspace, which I think is actually a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of airport managers don't know about that rule. So it's very difficult to operate in that airspace without a COA. Can it happen? Yes. But you got to brown nose the airport manager for a significant amount of time. I've seen some people do it. They're very good at brown nosing. So
good people.
I would say it's like a
you're not gonna give
it's like
credit.
A fifth grader in fifth grade class. You know, the really annoying one that was like raising their hand constantly
just
and everyone secretly
points.
Hated him. Yeah.
I didn't know
that guy. There's one of those here in town. Anyway.
So maybe we should just have people to get the rest of the details on this. Just text 33444.
Yeah. I think that there's a couple other ones I want to go over if you don't mind. Daylight hours only for 333 versus between official sunrise and sunset. A lot of people don't understand that difference. The FAA defines sunrise and sunset, and there's a period of time 30 minutes before and after, which they call civil twilight.
And that actually is documented. I mean, you can get it on the internet, right? The official sunrise and the official sunset. So
yes.
That's all
and they,
to
they
the minute stuff.
They say that civil twilight is 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after, depending on sunset or sunrise. That's a big deal because your long exposure shots that you want to get when the sun's going down, now it's going to be okay. If you had a 333 and were doing that or ever flying at night, you could get in a lot of trouble. I've never heard of anyone getting in trouble for it, though, and I know a lot of 333 guys who do fly at night.
Right.
But people say, oh, well, the recreational guys don't have any rules flying at night. One of the only rules in Mexico
is know how to fly.
Yeah. One of the rules in Mexico is one of the only rules is to not fly at night. So I like this distinction. Here's the other big one. And again, I want you guys to text 33444 in the text NPRM107. You get this document and read it yourself because there's quite a number of things on this document itself. But one of the big things is the buffer. A 333 exempt pilot must stay 500 feet from other property or people,
right?
Which we all know
isn't happening in most cases.
Yeah.
It's not very realistic.
Go and watch any 333 operators demo reel. Seriously.
Yeah.
Just go watch
it. So anyways, 107 is suggesting, at least as it stands now, that that will go away. But you might have some news to the contrary?
Nope. I mean, everyone's expecting us to not have the 500-foot buffer. But will that happen? I don't know.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens with that. You know, one of the things that's not on here, Paul?
What's that?
Is the, and I don't know if there's going to be anything for 107, but I don't see anything for reporting because with a 333, you have to report monthly.
Ooh, that's a good point.
And I don't know if that is required in any form for 107. I don't remember seeing it in there, but it's been a while since I read it, so.
I haven't read it in probably 8 or 9 months. Well, there is one thing. Would you have to file a NOTAM if you had a 107?
No.
You were supposed to not say
it because
I was
going
to be like, to find
chart.
Out, text 33444.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's
well,
okay.
It was right there.
No, I know it was. Guys, you're going to want this document anyway. So text it 33444, NPRM 107, and you will get that. But again, going back to the macro view, the 50,000-foot view, if you're waiting for your 333 or if you're waiting for 107, which there's a point I want to make here, but if you're waiting, nonetheless, you should be working on your flight skill and you should be working on your business because most people are focusing on this as a hurdle and you should be focusing on your competitive advantage to maintain competitive, to continue doing the job that you love.
Yeah.
Now, something something that someone told me, a flight instructor out of Denver, which is where I'll be finishing up some flight time myself, told me, you know, Paul, I know the exemptions have expiration dates. Whenever I've seen a special thing come out from the FAA with expiration dates, they're normally valid and won't make a change until that expiration date.
Hmm.
A lot of 353s have expiration dates in 2017.
Okay.
Even the end of 2017. And the question that that people have asked me is 107 really going to come out in June? And I think, again, that's a step in the right direction. I don't think it's the right question. I think the right question is, will we see 107 implemented in June? Mm. Because seeing it and implementing it, as we know, are two very different things.
Sure.
And the going back to that flight instructor in Denver, he said, Paul, if the 333s have an exemption, or excuse me, if the 333 exemptions have an expiration date, do you think that they're going to implement the new rule before the expiration date? He's like, my empirical evidence over the history of working for the FAA says no.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting. I thought that was very interesting.
So is that in terms of the expiration date for the 333, doesn't that start for everybody at the point at which they get it? Or you're saying every 333 expires in 2017?
I'm not saying everyone expires in 2017. I'm just saying that that could be a hint as to when we would actually see the 107 implemented. Does that make sense? And I don't think I answered your question.
Because we're getting new. It's fine. We'll see if that plays out or not. It'll be interesting to see.
Are we going to see 107 in June? I think we're going to see announcements made. Is it going to take time to implement? Yes. And that's what I'm saying, that this guy who was a flight instructor in Denver, very mm-hmm. close with the FAA, is saying don't expect it to be implemented in June. That's my point.
So it comes out, but then it's implemented over a period of time, fully implemented for maybe not for a couple years.
Well, you know, let's think about this, right? It took the FAA a couple months to set up a web database, which would take a hacker a day. Even with that type of volume, so I don't want to hear it, you internet freelancers that work for the government. but, you know, you question, okay, well, what about the test? Are they going to use the same system they have now for the test, which is you take the test at CAT centers, there's like 600 around the country, but CAT centers have kind of been dying off because not many people have been going for their pilot's licenses. There's been a shortage of CFI, Certified Flight Instructors. So is the FAA going to continue with this route of using the CAT centers? Because we now know the influx of drone pilots has superseded, if we look at the registration of drones versus the registration of aircraft, we have superseded the number of drones that have registered aircraft.
Right.
So will the CAT system work? I question its viability in this amount of volume. And then you question, okay, even if we have the test, we have testing centers, and they're not online, how long is it going to take the government to process the certificates? How long will it take them to process and implement this?
I don't know how they can do that without doing it online. That'd be ridiculous. But that's probably what's going to happen.
Can you take a current FAA exam online? Dude, we're talking about government here.
I know. Like, but they can
figure honestly,
this out.
And people are like, you know, the United States is falling behind. It truly is. Like, we are millennials. We grew up with technology, and we're telling you, old people, we're taking too long. Very simply, that's it.
No offense taken.
Yeah, old man. You're not an old man, dude. You're like 40 years old. Anyway, I'm talking about the old gray-haired guys.
Yeah.
They're going to make America look like Rome if they don't get their crap together. So, you know, Rome is burning.
Here.
We can smell the embers. Let's change it. Let's put some water on this fire.
You know what I mean?
It's not hard.
All right.
And that's why I was happy to this morning see the Today Show say FAA is falling behind. We're not trying to put you to the fire, the FAA. We just want you to do something that works for everyone.
Get the rules out. Get it done.
If Mexico can do it, I think we can too.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Make it happen.
So 107, going back, asking the right question. Are you planning? Are you doing the deliberate practice model of practicing your flying? Are you working on your business? Are you going to networking events? Are you focused on building business relationships? Because here's the thing. If you want these monster, gigantic contracts that are going to pay your business's way for the next 10 years, it's going to take you 6 to 7 months anyway to build up a relationship to land that contract.
Right.
So, and I'm pretty sure that's about the same time frame as getting a 333. So be smart. Work on your flying every day, network as much as you can, build the relationships, go out flying with people, have parties, do dronies, you know, do as much recreational hobby work as possible.
Yep.
Now, the FAA may write you an investigation letter thinking that you are doing commercial work. I've had a couple of those. But, No, it's funny because I'm like, did you even like look up to see if we had a 333? Because our name is a little bit different. Our legal name is different than Drone U. So anyway, I just thought I'd find it.
Who knows? Who knows? But, so, okay. So even though it's not the best right question, given what we're talking about, somebody says, okay, fine, that's all great. Yes, I'll practice. I get the deliberate practice thing. I still don't know whether I should get a 333 or wait for the 107. Depends.
Do you want to know my honest answer?
Always. Well, maybe not always. I take that back. This time, yes.
I would say, oh, man. I would say go for the 333. Here's why. You can get the MPTOM, which is pretty much getting put into every 333 now anyway. And you can fly closer than 500 feet if you follow the MPTOM rules, which are really not that bad.
Which that doesn't happen automatically, by the way. No. You have to do that separately. So when you say it's getting put into every one, you still have to do that.
Do the MPTOM.
The MPTOM and make it happen, yeah.
Well, and also when they're putting the MPTOM in the 333 now, instead of having it as a separate amendment, they expect you to operate under the MPTOM every time. Anyway.
Okay.
I would say absolutely. I would say get the 333. I would say go for it. Because of the uncertainty of NPRM 107, I don't think 107 is going to be like what we expect.
Yeah.
And having that ability to be closer than 500 feet, I think, is going to be extremely valuable. You're seeing the FAA give more exemptions for nighttime flights. That's going to be extremely valuable as a commercial operator if you're doing anything in thermography.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you're going to want to have a 333. Only thing I really hate about this whole 333 is the pilot's license, because I understand the FAA wanting you to know airspace and understand airspace.
Yeah,
I get
it's a no-brainer.
Totally get it. We've got to have so much more info, because the way that you fly a PPC, the way that you fly a hot air balloon, the way that you fly a Cessna 172 is so different than how you fly a drone. When you fly a helicopter, you're not looking at what's my KP index for today. Is it safe to fly?
Well, and one way I look at it is if, okay, you want me to get a pilot's license, well, then create a pilot's license for drones.
Yeah, that's a great point. And people have asked that. And the answer to your question why that hasn't happened is because we have such a shortage of CFIs in this country. This is what the FAA does not want you to know. They don't want you to know that they're very short on CFIs. And they really don't want you to know that if you go for a powered parachute, if you go for a hot air balloon, there's a very limited number of, even more limited, of those CFIs than anything else. Do you know why? Because the airlines have had such an issue keeping people on board that they're hiring CFIs to become commercial pilots for the airlines. And this has been a developing issue for like 5 to 6 years.
Didn't know that. Interesting.
I really love having a great community here at Drone U, because it has expanded our knowledge base so much. I couldn't understand why you wouldn't want to become a part of the Drone U community. It grows every day, which I love. The conversations you see in our group on Facebook are totally different than any other group. And by the way, you won't be able to find our group because it's a secret group.
Right.
But we would love to have you in there and have you a part of the community and discuss these things responsibly and discuss the different issues and what to do in certain scenarios and situations.
So to learn more about that, thedroneu.com.
Definitely.
Great place to start.
Definitely, guys. Sorry if I ranted here for a while, but I think you'll get some very good information. Should you wait for NPRM 107? I don't think so. And why?
Too many unknowns.
Too many unknowns. This time last year, what were people saying? We're going to get 107 by September. What happened in September?
Crickets.
That's right. Nothing. Now, I have my hopes set high for the FAA because they're being demanded by the DOT and Congress every day to do new things.
Yep.
I'm very excited about that. But now there's only two deciding factors on what's going to happen with this drone industry. What's going to happen with the Taylor case?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to registration? What effect will that registration have on commercial ops? Because recently they said, we want all commercial drone operators to register via the Part 48, not via the Part 47.
That's what they said.
They're now saying
that. Well, of course they said that.
Yeah. But hey.
Less paper.
One thing I will say, I'm watching the guys over at Drone Coalition struggle to get their registration done. And since we did it through John Rupert and like how to fill out your registration, ours came back in what was like 2 or 3 weeks. So we've had it for a long time now. And I can't say, and I'm not trying to get John business. I know he gets business from it anyway, but I can't say how helpful he's been to us.
Yeah.
And having John Rupert. There are other lawyers out there. You know, the Antonelli firm. There's a lot of good people out there. But John's one of those people who deeply cares about his clients. And I see that every time I talk to him. I talk to him weekly, sometimes some weeks daily. It's funny. We're so busy, both of us. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even see each other at NAB. Because it was like, I was doing an interview, he was talking to someone, he's at one booth, I'm at another. And I mean, like, if I can't even meet with our lawyer during a conference, it's really difficult to even meet with members. And I try to. I saw, I think, 5 members at NAB, never got to see John.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, you guys talk a lot.
And yeah, we do.
No, he is. He's great. He understands the industry is as well as anybody, if not better than anybody.
And he will not overcharge you. I saw some article that was like, if any lawyer wants to charge you over $1,000 for a 3-to-3 run, it's a scam. It's like, no, dude, you're a noob, and you don't understand how much goes into after getting the 333.
Right.
So
you're always going to, anytime there's something that people pay for, a professional service, you're always going to have those know-it-alls.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Well, it's just like your other business, right? So for those of you that don't know, this guy is a master CPA.
CPA. Yeah. I don't know what that means. But
you're like you're like the Jedi master of finance. Rob runs a mortgage company, and to give you an idea of why this is an analogy, why these two things are similar, is that Rob's business focuses on holding clients' hands, walking them through the entire process. So every step of the way, the client knows where they are, the client has someone to talk to no matter what it is, and there are 30 or 40 steps in getting a mortgage, all of which are not fun. And a lot of times your mortgage brokers can just get frustrated and push all the stuff on you. And when you go to them and say, why didn't my house close at this time? And they're like, oh, well, you didn't fill out this. That's not like your business. Your business, you are there every step of the way. That's what John Rupert does.
Right.
So
absolutely.
That's why I love working with him too. So anyway.
Yeah. That's been our experience. And we've heard the same kind of feedback from other people that have worked with John. So anyways, that was a little nice little commercial for John.
I'm sorry.
So thank you
I'm
very
sorry.
Much,
John, you deserve it. So. He's helped us out so much.
He has. And absolutely. That's why I'm totally fine with that. And we appreciate John very much. So
anyway, guys, that rant is going to do it for us today. The rant was brought to you by Legal Flyer. If you are not using Legal Flyer to get property permission slips, you need to be using Legal Flyer because those property permission slips are very important for many of the new rules that are coming out state by state, even though they're preempted by the FAA. It is a great way to get the permission you need to fly. It's also a great way to stay out of the hair of ugly, sadistic people who hate drones and may shoot them out of the sky. So
indeed.
Because if someone shot your drone out of the sky and you said, hey, I have permission to be here, that guy's going to instantly get arrested.
Well, you would hope.
Well, if you're in Redneck, Kentucky, you may not have that. May not happen.
That's right.
But
might just shoot you too. Anyways, guys.
I shot your drone. Here I come for you. So I'm not saying all Kentucky's redneck. I'm
not
just saying there are
no,
some rednecks in the South.
Of course. There's rednecks
and
everywhere.
And I grew up in Virginia, so I can say that.
There's rednecks everywhere. Who are you kidding? I got family that's rednecks, truth be told. So guys, check us out. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Wait, are you a redneck?
Yeah, a little bit.
You like to philosophize
about
the affairs of the United States of America.
Something like that. Anyways.
Are you from Houston?
Okay.
Sorry.
Ask droneu.com. If you've got a question, we want to hear from you. Get those questions. We know you have them, so send them in.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the community. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for sending in questions. Keep them coming. But that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.